From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. This week's guest on Naps Chat is Naps Executive Vice President Chuck Mulladore. We will be talking about the upcoming Naps Legislative Conference and lobbying days that are conducted at our nation's capital, and how the conference may be colored by the tremors rocking Washington's political landscape. Welcome back to Naps Chat, Chuck.
Thank you, Bob. Always a pleasure to be on Naps Chat talking to the members.
Why is this year's postal legislative and political environment different than previous years?
Well, Bob, there probably couldn't be a better time for us to have a legislative event in Washington, D.C. than this year. I think it's maybe the most relevant and timely LTS we may have ever had. Yeah, there's a variety of issues that are going on in the Postal Service and the political environment around that we can actively become a part of next week at LTS. You know, the issue of DOGE. We know that DOGE is working within the Postal Service right now. We're not sure what they're doing, what they're looking at, but we know they're there. We don't have a Postmaster General right now. Postmaster General DeJoy resigned and has left a acting PMG in there, but we don't have a permanent replacement yet from the Board of Governors. And we have a lot of legislation that potentially could affect a lot of our working members and retired members due to cuts in earned benefits that they've attained over the years due to this pending reconciliation bill that's right now being formulated on Capitol Hill. So we have a unique opportunity this year to go into the middle of this fight to protect our jobs, to protect the benefits that we have earned as employees of the Postal Service, and to make an impact with members of Congress on a variety of issues.
Now, Chuck, you and I have met with a considerably large number of members of Congress over the past few weeks.
Sure have.
And they are genuinely curious of what we think is going on and what we expect.
Right.
So how does that play into our interaction when our members come and meet with them in the immediate future?
Well, I can tell you that, in my opinion, just based upon the conversations we've had, not only in the last few weeks, but in the last few years, we've become the voice where many members of Congress turn to for information because they just have not been able to get it from the Postal Service for a variety of reasons. So we've been actively involved on the Hill in educating them, giving them information and data, helping them to understand how the service has declined, the importance of the Delivering for America plan that the last Postmaster General embarked upon. So we've become the voice where they turn to for information. And I think we've been able to exploit that to help them better understand how these issues affect not only NAPS members, but postal employees in general across the spectrum, whether they're a craft employee, management, postmaster, supervisor, whatever they might be. So we have a unique place, I think, now, and our legislative position has strengthened considerably over the last few years because of our involvement in the Postal Reform Act in 2022 and in passing the Social Security Fairness Act in 2024. As well as the engagement we've had with so many members on postal issues. I mean, in fact, when we go meet with them to discuss NAPS issues, what they want to talk about first and foremost is what's going on at the post office. Mm-hmm. So we get them through that, and then we tie that into the issues that we think are important. So I think we have a great place right now with a lot of members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats.
Let me touch upon advocacy amplification. That's what I'm going to label this.
Okay.
A major addition to our conference this year is a Tuesday legislative rally that will take part on the west front of the U.S. Capitol. That's the area where the presidential inauguration has taken place. Before I ask you the question, I would mention that NAPS President Butts participated in a National Association of Letter Carriers sponsored rally in Washington, and you took in a American Postal Workers Union coordinated rally in New York City. Some politically impaired critics may mockingly suggest that holding a rally makes NAPS look like a union. Could you talk about the importance of rallying public and congressional support for the postal cause?
Yeah, for sure. I'm reminded again of the words of Ben Franklin at the signing of the Declaration of Independence that we must all hang together or we most certainly shall hang separately. And while I'm not concerned about a hanging at this point, I am concerned about us being united on the very issue of the existence of the Postal Service. And as I said at the rally in New York, and as Ivan said at the rally here in D.C., we can't afford to be separate on this issue. Do we have differences with those employees that we supervise? Absolutely. And we generally resolve those through arrangements in the national agreements or in a variety of other forums. But on this one particular issue, we have to be together, because if we don't unite together on this issue, we won't have anything to bicker about. There won't be anything left to argue about. So it's important that all of the unions, management organizations stand together to fight for the very existence of this postal service, which I think since its inception in 1970 of this version of the post office has never been threatened in the way that it has, nor in the 250 plus years of its existence has the postal service been this close to a threat to its very existence. And we know that would be bad, not only for postal employees, but also be very, very bad for America.
Yeah, the two threats, and they're not necessarily mutually exclusive, is that there are those arguing for postal privatization, and there are others, maybe even the same people, arguing that it should be folded into the Department of Commerce. How does that play into our messaging as at the legislative training seminar?
Yeah, well, the rally is all about showing support, not only to the members of Congress, and to express the position of all of the stakeholders in the post office to Congress, but also to the American public. You know, they'll see this on the news. They'll hear about it through a variety of channels, because the post office is important to the American people. So the rally is just to generate that type of coverage, that type of unity and support, so we can show members of Congress, we can show the American people that on this issue, the issue of the existence of the post office, we've all gotten together, put aside our differences, and gotten together to express the point that the post office can't be privatized. I mean, it wasn't intended to be a money-making operation, right? It's a service. And we have to do things that aren't necessarily money-making. We have to deliver mail in remote areas of the country. We have to deliver packages to folks where no other company will go to deliver a package. So these things aren't necessarily money-making, so to speak. A private industry generally wouldn't continue to do things that didn't make money. But we were presented to the American people at the dawn of this republic as a way to tie the nation together through the mail. And even though there's a lot of digital communication and so forth, that's still what we do. We still tie the nation together through the mail and its variety of services. So it's critical that right now at this point at LTS, we have a chance to come together, hone that message, take it to the Hill. In the meantime, work with some of our other partners in the Postal Service, the unions and other management organizations and other stakeholders, to express a common theme to Congress and the American people.
Your rallying cry for this rally on the west front of the Capitol is mail for all, save our postal service.
Right.
Could you talk about that theme?
Well, I think the idea of mail for all means that it's not designed to be only for those who live in certain areas or have certain income levels or have a certain way of doing business. It's designed for everybody. So whether you live in the remotest parts of Alaska, or you live in the islands in Hawaii and other places, or you live in Washington, D.C. or New York City, you're all entitled to the same services as everybody else gets. And you can only do that when the mail is for everybody. And you can only do that by an entity that is already in existence, is mentioned in the U.S. Constitution at the dawn of this country, and it's important that we continue that. We don't want this to be sold off into a for-profit industry, because that will take out a lot of the people who are currently getting mail at uniform prices across the country, right? The price of a stamp costs the same in Honolulu as it does in Cleveland, Ohio. And that's important that those services remain there for all of the American people, and that we save the post office. And that's the only way to make it happen.
I would just add about on that that issue of privatization in Denmark, which has privatized their postal system, they recently decided to eliminate the carriage of letter mail, which should be instructive to those who are interested in privatizing the United States Postal Service.
And we've heard over the last 20 years or so that, you know, first-class mail has been declining. And we all worked for the post office for many years, and we knew that first-class mail was the bread and butter of the post office, right? And yet we hear that, well, you know, mail's not important anymore. People aren't mailing letters. But actually, billions of letters are transmitted through the mail every year. So there is still a great need to deliver letter mail, not just packages. Packages are a growth industry, I agree. But letter mail and flats and magazines and newspapers, while diminished, are still an important part of what the Postal Service does.
In addition to the legislative rally, the most important exchange that takes place between NAPS members is engaging with their senators and representatives at Capitol Hill meetings in their own offices and congressional offices. What are the specific messages we will be sending in 2025 to Congress regarding our legislative priorities?
Well, NAPS every year has a legislative agenda that we take forward to the Hill, and we advocate and argue for that those measures to be passed. This year is no different. Several primary pieces of legislation we have is H.R. 70, the Postal Supervisors and Managers Fairness Act, that would simplify, modify, and bring logic and order to our pay consultation process, which, by the way, NAPS is about to undertake with the Postal Service within the next month or so. So this would make it much more easy to do, much more logical, and much more appropriate. It would also bring a component of a mandated settlement through, I guess we couldn't say the Federal Mediation Conciliation Service anymore, since the president has basically abandoned that service, but through some process that we know we'll agree on that would require both sides to be a binding mediation solution, basically. H.R. 1559, the Postal Employee Appeals Rights Amendment Act. So this covers those people who don't have MSPB rights. And that's important now, because those people that don't directly supervise two or more craft employees are perhaps most in danger, since they don't have rights to an MSPB system. So very critical that we advocate for that. And of course, H.R. 2095, the Postal Police Reform Act, that would put postal police back on the streets doing what they historically have done for decades in the Postal Service. And I would remind you, Bob, and you know, we came very close to having this out of a committee last year in the Senate. We pushed as hard as we possibly could, didn't quite make it, fell a little bit short of the finish line, but we're back on their race and back pushing for that. And possibly one of the most pertinent pieces of legislation, it's a resolution, H-Res 70, which expresses support for the Postal Service to be an independent establishment of the government and oppose any privatization effort. So that's H.Res. 70, has a Senate companion, S-147. So that, and there's others. That's not the whole list of it. But these top our list of priorities that we'll take to the Hill on Tuesday. Our members will be very engaged. Congress is in session next week. Very likely they will be able to meet with their representative and senator. Very possibly do that, which just enhances the engagement. Last year was an extremely successful effort on the Hill, and we expect this one to be just as successful. And we've got the other message of carrying forward this idea that, you know, we cannot privatize the post office. We must continue to exist. And I think most people in Congress, Republicans and Democrats, agree with that.
One of the interesting facets or effective facets of our advocacy is the multi-channel approach, and we've expanded our advocacy into the digital realm also.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we had invited a representative from Voter Voice, a gentleman named Adam Campbell, to address our members, and he was extremely effective and extremely popular with the attendees at the legislative training seminar.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit about why we invited Adam Campbell back again for 2025 and what value he adds to the program?
Well, you're right. He was extremely popular, and we do a survey at the end of LTS, and he was one of the most widely complimented individuals on this topic. So, hey, you know, we want to give the people what they want so they know they liked Adam. We want to bring Adam back for a return engagement to continue that expansion of using your digital messaging to reach Congress. And again, it's another avenue we have to reach these members of Congress. So we have the legislative training seminar, right? We have you and I out on the Hill attending whatever event we can attend to get our message out there. We have members of NAPS engaging with congressmen and senators at the local level, which is highly effective as because they are voters of those individuals. And we have it taking off in large measure in many areas of the country where that local engagement is so important. And now we add the digital piece where we can reach them through those means and have an effective message as well. So all of these things work together to bring the message to Congress. It isn't just one platform, it's a multi-platform effect to make sure that we get the message out there through all the noise that's going on out there. We get our message to cut through all of that and get our message to the important people that we need to get it to in Congress.
Yeah, let me share a secret with you. Adam is going to be talking about how our members could play a role using this digital media to become influencers back home with their neighbors and community members to be allies in our promotion of the United States Postal Service.
And that's how everything starts, right? I mean, what's the most effective communication, the most effective way to do anything is word of mouth, right? Every good business wants to have good word of mouth. They want good reviews on Google and things like that. But word of mouth, that grassroots communication is so effective, and it's going to be even more effective as we build this, we hope, this very large stable of support for the Postal Service and for our legislative agenda as well.
I want to come back to something you started with, and that is the issues or the environment at which we're going to be coming to Washington that we're going to be operating in. We're talking about the White House is calling for privatization or musing about privatization or folding mm-hmm. in the Postal Service into the Department of Commerce. There is a power vacuum at Postal Headquarters with the premature and hasty departure of Louis DeJoy as PMG.
Mm-hmm.
We have four vacancies on the Board of Governors, as you referenced. Do all these issues, including whether or not they continue implementation of the DFA, Delivering for America plan, because the Postmaster General is no longer there, the biggest promoter of DFA. I mean, with everything going on, does that complicate our work or does it clarify our work?
I think it clarifies the work, and it tells those nearly 500 people coming to our event next week that, man, we got work for you to do. We have a full agenda for you. We have a full program for you, and we're going to send you out with the marching orders to do a variety of things, not only here on the Hill, but also when you go home. So, the Board of Governors, you know, they need to pick a Postmaster General. I know they're going through a process right now. We have a deputy, a temporary Postmaster General, and right now an interim Postmaster General. But we need to get that settled and solved. Then we can answer some of these other questions and have some influence on these other issues around DFA. I think there's been waning support in Congress for DFA. I think that members of Congress want to see it either slowed down, held up, reevaluated, which I think in many ways makes sense. I think it's time to maybe hold up, take a look at it, see what's been good, and see what has been not so good, and reevaluate. And I think that's what we hear on the Hill that people are looking for. And I think that's a message we'll have. I think that we need the Board of Governors to get moving on this process and get us a Postmaster General so that we can start working on that process with Postal Headquarters. Plus, we also have, you forgot to mention, pay talks we have with the Postal Service coming up in the next month or so. And we've got to get that going. So I think instability creates opportunities for the naysayers, right? So instability right now at Postal Headquarters allows for those that don't like the post office or want to privatize the post office to have a platform to try to hurt the post office. So we've got to be a player in that. We've got to be a part of that. And we can bring that message to members of Congress as well. And I know we're bringing it to a variety of sources, you know, beyond Congress too. So we've got to fix the instability. And I think some of these other issues will then be allowed to get resolved once we fix that one.
Now, let's specifically talk about the legislative training seminar. Could you preview the event for us?
Well, yeah, because it's exciting. And this year we have a little bit of difference in terms of some of the programs. So this year we have our traditional wreath-laying ceremony, which honors four members of our organization who have served in the armed forces or who had family members who served in the armed forces. And that is normally held on the Sunday prior to LTS. This year it'll be on Saturday. The wreath-laying ceremony is when we lay a wreath in honor of those who have served at the Tomb of the Unknowns in Arlington Cemetery. It's a great event. Very proud of our efforts to do that. I think it says a lot about our organization that we honor the role of veterans in our country, but also who served in the Postal Service and who are also members of NAPS. And then we'll kick off on Monday with... Well, we have other things on Sunday. We have a church service. We have a town hall meeting. We have a first-timers meeting on Sunday. And then we'll kick off on Monday, April the 7th, with a huge event, huge effort, a packed schedule to send our folks onto the Hill on Tuesday and Wednesday. And, of course, Tuesday is the big rally on the Hill. We're going to keep our fingers crossed for sunshine. I can't promise good temperatures that day, but I think we're going to have some sunshine for Tuesday. So it's a packed weekend that begins on Saturday with the wreath-laying ceremony at Arlington Cemetery, continues through Sunday with our events on Sunday, and then into Monday and beyond, into Tuesday and Wednesday as we hit the Hill, so to speak, and rally on behalf of our issues and on behalf of the Postal Service. So it's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it, and I know the members are going to really enjoy it when they get here.
As you know, most NAPS members will not be able to come to Washington. What should they be doing while their colleagues are here in Washington or after their colleagues depart Washington?
Yeah, they should be paying attention. Listen, nobody can afford to sit on the sidelines any longer. You can't sit at home and say, well, that's not really going to happen, or that's never going to really occur, or I'll let someone else take care of it. No, we all have to be legislative advocates. We have to pay attention. We have to get involved. So we have to get in the game. So even if everybody can come, and I understand that, but they send representatives from almost every branch in the country, 260-some branches that have a representative there for the most part, and they'll bring that information back about what they did, who they met with, the messaging they had, and they'll continue that messaging. You know, it doesn't end when they leave town to go back home. It's only the beginning. We're going to give them an agenda to carry forward in the local level and meet with their representatives at their various town halls, if they're having town halls, and various other ways, communication with their staff at their offices. Become a first-name basis with the local staffers in their offices. They are the ones who generate a lot of activity for the congressmen or senators. Get to know those folks, send them information, meet with them, see them. We have to get active. We can't wait any longer. So the message will go forward from here out to everybody, and the people that aren't able to come should pick up on that, question the folks who came, find out what they can do to get involved and to save the Postal Service and generate what needs to be done for NAPS and NAPS members.
I can't let you go without talking about SPAC and the prominent role it plays in our political and legislative activities throughout the year. So could you talk a little bit about the Supervisors Political Action Committee?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the, what was the mother's milk?
Mother's milk of politics.
Right. I mean, SPAC is that because, I mean, just to boil it down, SPAC is people contributing to our Political Action Committee, our members, contributing several hundred thousand dollars or more a year that we use to meet with members of Congress here, that we use to send to our members locally to congressional events in their home district. And it gives us access, and that's really what you have to have. To have any impact at all on the legislative and political process, you have to have access. Now, that may not seem like a virtuous activity for members of a democratically elected republic, but the reality is, without SPAC, we're not in a very good position to argue for the things that we know that are important to NAPS members as well as the Postal Service. So everybody can donate $5 or $10 or $20 to SPAC. Everybody can give $5 or $10 or more out of their check to SPAC. It's money well spent. It's all well documented. It's all published. It's all very transparent. There's no hidden agendas. So I would encourage people to not only get involved yourself in the process, but to contribute to SPAC so we can continue to fund the work that needs to be done now and in the future.
With that being the last word, Chuck, I want to thank you for joining us on NAPS Chat this week.
Absolutely. Always enjoy talking about these issues, Bob, and they're important, and we have to keep talking about them.
Also, I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave a positive review on the Apple Podcast Store or any podcast store that you are participating with, and share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm going to stand right down and write myself a letter and make